I wanted to work with the turbulent brilliance of turbulent brilliance of turbulent brilliance of Deborah Winger. Turbulent brilliance of turbulent brilliance of turbulent brilliance of Deborah Winger.
I'm from Canada, water.
I deserve this, thank you.
Meet your wild side at Magic Mike Live. It's like a hot date, only your girlfriends are there. And there's 13 guys instead of one, and they can dance. I mean, yeah, it's a chance to rock your new heels and enjoy a stunning venue. But let's be real, you're mostly there for this. And there's nothing wrong with that. Free your magic at Magic Mike Live.
Hello, and welcome to This Had Oscar Buzz Turbulent Brilliance, the This Had Oscar Buzz Patreon after show. Here on Turbulent Brilliance, we'll be taking occasional excursions down different topics, from experiences at the cinema to mailbag questions to old award shows and actress roundtables. Every month, we're heading off someplace fun and weird, and we hope you'll be here to join us. This week, we are taking a trip to Las Vegas, Nevada for a follow-up to one of our most recent episodes. We think you'll have a good time with it. I am your host, Joe Reed. I'm here as always with my queen. May I call you queen, Chris File?
Let me tell you, I did feel very exalted. So yes, you may call me queen.
We were not originally planning for this to be the first excursions episode of the This Had Oscar Buzz Turbulent Brilliance Patreon show. And then I got a text message from Chris File.
I have some shit to say.
In some state of inebriation, I would imagine.
No, just generalized euphoria.
Just high on
true
euphoria.
Yeah. I had a cocktail at the show, okay. But like one cocktail does not.
Okay. Because it did have the feel of like, we should all move here and live together. We should all buy a house and we could all have rooms in it and we could all live here. That was the vibe that I get from you being like, this should be the Patreon episode. This is what
Listen,
you should talk
this
about.
This is not a sponsored post, but it is going to read like a sponsored post because
for Las Vegas.
Yes. That is the vibe when you leave Magic Mike Live.
You just want to tell as many people about it as possible.
I would preach this gospel on the corner. Joe, I experienced the theatrical event of our lifetime.
Wow. Wow.
I cannot wait to go again. What a
pilgrimage.
Moment. What an event. It's actually kind of a very, if anybody watched Finding Magic Mike, the now removed
and
HBO Max reality miniseries.
Yeah.
Fuck you, David Zaslav.
Seriously.
I think you can watch it on the Roku channel or somewhere.
I'm sure. They've all found
their
like,
little
spaces.
We have this intimate theater, blah, blah, blah. No, it is actually like, there's no, you can't get a bad seat, though. If you really want to sit in the, like, the splash zone, sit in the front of the balcony,
the
because,
zone.
Like, you will have men rappelling in front of you and, like, landing in front of your direct
Like Cirque du Soleil?
Basically, yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, we'll get into the aerial number. I need to save space for
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah.
For
yeah,
itself,
yeah, yeah.
but,
yeah, yeah.
like...
All right. We're going to treat this... We're going to treat this episode because Chris went to Magic Mike Live and I did not. So we're going to treat this a little bit like a 60 Minutes interview or like a Frost Nixon sort of face to face. I'll be Mike Wallace is here and Mike Wallace is going to interview.
Girl,
Chris.
Mike Wallace is here. I feel right now very much like the woman in the often memed Grand Hotel commercial ad where she's
right.
like, Sid Cerise is terrific. She's wonderful.
My husband works in the area. We're going to get tickets to three more shows.
As soon as I can get tickets, my husband works in this area. I'm coming to see her twice more.
I love that ad. It's so special to me. Okay, but so to set the table, back in February, and I can always remember, or was it, this might have even been January, because we were waiting for the Oscar nominations. That's what it was. We were waiting for the Oscar nominations to
I think
be announced.
It was our post-Oscar nomination episode, too.
We recorded
we
it
like,
in the interim. Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't know when we recorded it whether our guest Pamela Ribbon was going to be Oscar nominated. And by the time the episode was out, we knew that she had been. And that episode, we talked about Magic Mike Double XL. And in addition to maybe Pam putting a curse on Joe Manganiello's marriage, I don't know, because it has since been announced.
Whoops.
But we also talked quite a bit about what different cities we could go see the Magic Mike live show in, and whether we should just spend the rest of our lives just touring the globe, going from Magic Mike Live to Magic Mike Live. And Chris,
I would be a Magic Mike Live groupie.
Had you by that point decided to see it in Vegas, or did that help inspire you to buy tickets?
No, we went for my sister's 40th birthday. I thought I would not be able to hang with Vegas. It is like adult Disneyland and the most heterosexual.
If you go for like 3 days, it's fine. You can't stay for longer than that. But if it's like 2 or 3 days, like, you're good.
I mean, like, I was in Palm Springs in the days previous, yeah. Like, I got my homosexuality well filled.
Sure.
You know, I could stomach the heterosexuality of Vegas.
Sure.
Also, Magic Mike Live is really heterosexual.
It's very much tailored to the moms in the audience. The wine
I
moms?
I mean, yes and no.
Okay.
Our crowd had a lot of bachelorettes, and they had the night of their lives.
All right. I want to get to this a little bit chronologically, though. So as I am the Mike Wallace of this, so I'm going to set the stage.
This was not planned, though. We decided on the day this is what we're doing.
Oh, I thought this was like, I thought that you had a plan to go see this when you knew you were going to Vegas.
I had a plan to make it happen.
Okay,
get the group to be like, yes, we're going.
All right, so I want to set the stage for Vegas then. You're in Vegas for what? A weekend, right?
Yeah, 2 days. 2 days.
Do you feel comfortable sharing what hotel you stayed at?
Stayed at the MGM. I'm not staying there as this airs, so like one's going to.
Thoughts on the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino?
The largest hotel on the planet, I am told. It was a time. It was fabulous.
So did you have to like walk all the way down to the other end to get a vending machine or ice or anything like that? Was that
No, it was fine. It was fine.
No, I always feel like whenever I stay at a hotel, my room is at the exact mathematical furthest spot from wherever the ice machine is. So
listen, my brother-in-law was intent on making this an excellent time for all involved, including my birthday celebratory sister. He got us a cabana at the pool. We floated in the pool.
How was the pool at the MGM Grand? I imagine
huge,
that's a good time.
Filled with people and wonderful.
Adult people are like, is that like a place where like
pretty
people
much
bring
all
children?
Adult people. Okay, pretty much good. All adult people.
That's good. Are you a gambler in any way? Did you like hit a slot machine at all at any point?
I'm not a gambler. Love playing roulette though, because it's fun. It has the worst odds, but it's
yes, it is the worst
fun.
Odds. Yes.
Yes.
I would love to play craps if I could ever remember the rules of craps for more than a day at a time. I feel like every once in a while I will like learn up on it and be like, I could do this, and then the next day it's
you
all
would have gotten a
head.
Lot out of this trip if you were there, because all of the men of this trip were very motivated about learning and playing craps, and my brother-in-law won $700.
See? That's good for your brother-in-law. That's very good. So you played roulette. Did you win any money in roulette?
I broke out even. That
see,
fine.
That's fine. So you had some fine. Fun. You spun the wheel.
I came ahead on one day, and then I got back down to
you got
the same
your moment again. Where you hit a number, and you were, and everybody cheered, and it was a good time.
Yeah.
I like that. Yes. I will always get sucked into a slot machine, even though I know that, like, the one-armed bandits, right, you know, that you're, but, like, sometimes, after I've played a little blackjack, or, you know, been intimidated by the craps tables and then walked away, I will just want to sit down and plug some, you know, money into the slot machine and see if I can get the little tower to light up all the way to the top of the tower.
Can I say my slot machine hack? Because I previously have won $250 in a Vegas airport slot machine. And the trick of doing this is, like, you look around and you'll see, like, Sex in the City slot machines. Uh-huh. You'll see normal slot machines. You'll see, we saw like a Little Shop of Horrors slot machine for some reason.
I once won $75 on an Ellen branded slot machine. Cursed. That money was cursed.
Fantastic. And the one I won on, you know, you will also see slot machines that you're like, we shouldn't still have these in the year of our Satan 2023.
No.
This is very culturally insensitive.
Oh, no, what?
That's where I won.
Oh, like the smiling kitty slot machine or whatever? Like the...
it, just full offensive slot machines. If you feel like you might be uncomfortable spotted at it, maybe play that one. You're probably going to win. Because people don't play them.
There's a photo somewhere of Chris underneath, like, the Hong Kong pagoda of a
of a slot machine. Yeah. Cringing the whole time.
Yeah, and then the
next photo is me shocked that I just won a bunch of money.
Amazing. Fantastic. Well, yeah, so I won my $75 on a canceled Ellen slot machine. So maybe that is the secret. Maybe that works. All right. So the Magic Mike show, though, is not it at the MGM Grand. Did you notice who was...
opposite end at the Sahara, one of the oldest casinos.
Does somebody have a residency at the MGM Grand? Was there signage for anybody when you were there?
David Copperfield. The posters have a quote from, I'm not kidding, Oprah, that
says
the greatest magician of our time.
It's kind of amazing that David Copperfield isn't an Oprah invention, because he fits perfectly with the Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, Ayanna Van Zant sort of like school of like watchable hucksters. I feel like he would fit that.
I've told you my mom used to work for David Copperfield.
No.
Right?
What?
As just like the head secretary for his company.
Amazing.
It used to be based in Columbus. We almost moved to Vegas, and then we kids were like, absolutely not. And
what a life you could have lived.
It worked because as soon as they went there, they went bankrupt.
Well,
so it worked out well for all of us. Also headlining at MGM was Ka, the Cirque du Soleil show where the floor becomes a wall and then people are like plummeting. It's the one that someone died doing.
Oh, God.
And also the Jabberwockies.
Sure, of course. Yeah. And that's all at the MGM Grand?
Yeah.
Damn.
MGM, it's a cool place to get lost.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So you said the Magic Mike Live show is at the Sahara, which is far away from the MGM Grand. Did you walk? Did you take a shuttle? What did you do?
Oh, we took a very late cab.
Yeah.
Actually, like, our cab never came, and then we took a cab, and it was this guy who got us there very quickly and was telling us about all of the strip clubs we could go to.
That's all of the cab drivers in Las Vegas are required to tell you about all the strip clubs you could go to, I guarantee you, because, like, it's been my experience every time. When we did our Gloria Bell episode, right? That's the one I said about how my friends and I, the one time, walked all the way to the Rio, which involved darting across the highway at one point. Because the Rio looks a lot closer than it is. And then when we finally made it back to our hotel, we discovered that there was a shuttle from our hotel that went right to the Rio.
Great
times. Okay, so you get to the Sahara. What's the vibe at the Sahara? What's the crowd looking like?
Oh, we were running to the theater.
There was no vibe.
The vibe was panic.
Okay. So you make it to the Sahara in time.
Yes.
You get to your seats. How are your seats? You said you're not in the splash zone.
We're not in the splash. There's no bad seats. There's no bad seats. We were in the back, but it was no complaints here.
Now, you had told me before, you bought these tickets, like, day of. So, like, you can go to Las Vegas today and, like, see the Magic Mike Live show, probably.
I would be willing to bet, yes.
And that's not because it's, like, struggling. It's just sort of like, that's just
the vibe of Vegas because, like, everything, like, people are, you go there and you figure out what you want to do and then you do it. Like,
sure.
You know,
I feel like for the bigger residencies, like, I feel like for, like, Britney or Celine or whatever, you probably have to have tickets.
Sure. People who are seeing Adele somehow.
Right. Is she in Vegas right now? Is Adele in Vegas?
No, I don't want to talk about it. I was there in the homophobic 2-week span where neither Adele nor Kelly Clarkson would be there. I don't want to talk
about it. Boo. All right. So you make it to the Sahara in time. The little theater inside there is showing Magic Mike Live. Inside the room, what is the vibe? You take a look around. Did you have time to look at the crowd or was the show starting?
The crowd was a lot of bachelorettes. It feels like you are entering into a new age saloon / circle in the round theater.
Okay.
There is a bar that I'm pretty sure did not serve alcohol, but it looks like a bar. Well, maybe they did to the people who were sitting at the bar.
Oh, it's like on stage seating?
No.
Oh, okay.
The stage actually isn't that big. Like, when you get, like, 14 himbos on there, it's like, how are they doing this choreography without kicking each other in the face? On the main floor, it was like couches.
All right,
where we were sitting, it was bar stools. But
so like banquets, sort of like a lounge, a bar lounge vibe.
Yes, very laid back vibe, very intimate.
Sure. What kind of cocktails did you get?
I actually got a really good, very expensive, like Marg or something.
Okay.
As we were going in. Because we were meeting my friend who was stranded in Vegas, conveniently, for the purposes of this. And my sister's mom, they like made friends with each other while we were like hustling to get there. And I was like, let me get a cocktail for making all of you wait. And it was like a $30 cocktail. But, like, you know, it wasn't...
The two things that I love about Vegas, most of all, are that you can get a drink at one place and just carry it to wherever else you're going.
Pretty much.
I spent the better part of a day with one of those... I got a pina colada in one of those yardstick glasses.
Things.
And I, like, just walked around, basically, like... My friend and I dared each other to do it. And so then we just ended up walking around with these like giant pina coladas for the better part of an afternoon.
It's like a $50 dare. Those things are so expensive.
I don't know if they were that expensive then, but like they were, I mean, they're not cheap. And then the other thing is, and I am even less of a smoker than I was when I went to Vegas. But even when I was there, I was only an occasional bum a smoke kind of a person. But I did enjoy the fact that you could just smoke indoors at the casinos. And it was like land before
time.
Okay,
this is my endorsement of Vegas right now. Even though it is the most heterosexual place on the world. And the times that I had previously been, I was like, I'm dying half an hour in because the smoke just incubates.
Yeah.
Post-COVID and the new filtration system.
Oh, I bet they work wonders.
I could only smell a cigarette once and in passing.
Oh, I love it.
And like people were smoking.
Yeah.
And it was a
all the fun of smoking, none of the guilt of making your friends resent you. I love it. Okay, fantastic. Even better. Okay, so you've got your marg. You're in your seats. How are seats comfortable? You know I love a non-restrictive seat.
It was a bar stool where we were.
Oh, okay. All right. Not my fave, but it's not.
No complaints.
All right. No complaints. So walk me through the show. I am especially interested to hear whether there's a narrative to this show or whether it's just performance, performance, performance.
There is a MC who we kept calling Not Fergie. But like Fergie could comfortably go and
they should start stunt casting the MC at Magic Mike Live.
1,000,000%. Yeah. Except like it might be like Julianne Hough.
Fine.
It might be
fine,
you know.
Fine.
It is, it kind
Christina of, Milian.
You know, it is such smooth brain entertainment, and I say that all positive.
Sure.
That, like, it is kind of, her role is, like, the girl bossification of Magic Mike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
In, like, the hyping of the crowd that happens throughout the show.
Come on, ladies, aren't you good to have... Didn't you drag your husbands here? Or did you leave them behind at the hotel? Like, that kind of thing?
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
I have to say, this woman is the hardest working woman in show business. She deserves a Nobel Peace Prize, as does everyone involved with the production. Special Tony Award achievement.
Sure, right. So what's is she then guiding them through a storyline or is it just a talent show?
There's no story. It's mostly like vignettes that flow very easily between one another. And like some of the vignettes may be like the star, the mic of the show comes out and like dances a little bit, and then sometimes there might be like a group number where they are in a costume or
a
not really a costume.
Costume
but like a vibe, because they make fun of the like male stripper costume right off the bat. A guy comes out in a fireman's outfit and it's like the point is we don't want that. We want you know, we want an experience, we want the vibe, we want not a narrative but like set the stage.
Sure.
And the show really does that. There's like, you know, all of the songs you expect to hear, you will hear. Like the finale is Pony.
Oh, I was going to say, where does Pony come in?
Pony
the
comes in at the end.
That makes sense.
There's like when the mics are rappelling across the stage and in front of the balcony, they're like throwing rose petals out like they're some type of nymph. I thought that there was supposed to be a water number, but there was no water number. That was maybe my one disappointment.
Yeah,
for it.
Yeah. You want
there's
water.
Like a number where it's like it's kind of designed for all tastes, right? And there's a number where they all come out in suits and they keep the suits for the whole number.
Oh,
and it feels like it
Butch
feels,
Queen. Butch Queen.
Well, yes. Yeah. Executive Realness Queen.
Yeah.
It feels very boy bandish in uh-huh. that way, uh-huh. in the way that like. It's not an NSYNC concert. And the vibe in the room is not an NSYNC concert.
But for like NSYNC's original fans, it's all the women who were fans of NSYNC.
Yes.
Yeah, back in the day.
I mean, like, you enter such a state of euphoria, yeah. a state of just full, like, screaming. Like my sister's mom has a video of the show. She's recording the show, and in the back, you hear this wild homosexual, i.e., me, screaming literally the words, "I am so happy." And if the show was 5 minutes long, it was also 5 hours long. It's a 90-minute show,
a
but it's all so like is smooth, and the vibe is maintained the whole time. You and the audience are at an 11 the whole time, to the
sure.
point where I was just like, I couldn't sequentially tell you what happens
sure.
in that show.
Sure.
I think the big like show-stopping moment of the show, they do an aerial number between a man and a woman that is truly one of the greatest things I have ever seen in my life.
So they, this is a professional woman dancer, or do they pull people out from the audience?
No, it's a professional woman dancer. There wasn't that much pulling people out of the audience. So
okay.
if you're squeamish about getting pulled up on stage,
sure.
and you have floor tickets,
uh-huh.
you may or may not be pulled up.
Is it like
a
Hedwig thing where if
sash.
You're in this seat, you're going to get the car wash? Is that the kind of like...
And I didn't think it was the car wash seat.
Uh-huh.
But I did want them to pull up like a 60-year-old woman, and they didn't. So, yeah. Well,
Anne Roth
they kind
sitting
of do...
on a bench smiling at Magic Mike. That's what you're
right.
looking for. Right.
They do a little bit like kind of a nod to the end of XXL where it's... two guys doing a chair dance thing
uh-huh.
and then they switch off
uh-huh.
and it's there's that, but the aerial number is like worth price of admission
yeah.
alone, because
so that's
like
Cirque du Soleil a little bit then, right? A little
I mean ish. It does feel it feels burlesque ish
sure.
but like the most
by which you mean there were air rights that they were occupying over the stage.
Yes yeah. This it was a interpretive dance about air rights.
All right perfect.
Fucking for air rights,
right.
dancing about architecture,
right?
Just one of the greatest things I have ever seen, the air
so,
number.
You mentioned Pony comes at the end. What other songs are utilized in the Magic Mike live show, do you remember?
This is where the blur happens. There's definitely some, well, Pony's Genuine, isn't it?
Yes.
What was the other one that I was like, oh, of course this is here.
Is it like boy band stuff? Is it like 90s stuff, or is it like all across?
No,
the
it's
decades?
More horny than that.
Okay.
It's bump and grind music.
Sure.
But it's all good.
Actual
it's
bump and grind, the song?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But
it's
quite
a missed
possible.
Opportunity. Missed opportunity if so. All right. This is also fascinating. This obviously...
I mean, like, there's numbers that are just, like, this is a person on stage that danced.
Sure.
And then there's, like, crowd work numbers, too.
Sure.
Where they're, like... There was a woman that, like, he was, like... He put her on his shoulders at one point and then lifted her up a wall. And I screamed so loud that I think I scared the people in front of me. There's a moment, there's like ladders on the wall, and there was a moment where they start scaling the ladders, and it looks like the mics are coming out from everywhere. My friend leans over to me, and he's like, they're scaling the walls, just like January 6th.
Oh no. That was their tribute to January 6th.
You know, it was a silent, it was a moment of silence.
Sure.
with a spotlight just on a set of abs. No, I'm kidding.
Wait, so you said that the vibe is very bachelorette party. What's the, if you had to put a percentage on...
Bachelorette party positive, not
oh,
like,
sure.
You know, the best version of bachelorette party I've ever seen.
Were you like a group of gay men in a sea of straight women, or were there like pockets of gay men throughout the audience?
I mean, once again, Las Vegas is the most heterosexual place on the planet. The two guys in front of us, I'm pretty sure, were definitely gay.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was pretty much all heterosexual women. They are
the
audience.
It's so funny that, like, I'm not in a position to dispute you that Las Vegas is an incredibly heterosexual place because, like, I've been there. I know. And yet, it feels like the only time I ever hear about Vegas is when, like, gay people that I know are going there to see Britney or to see Adele or to see Kelly or to see one of the many Shania, you know, and whoever's the diva du jour of that moment.
That being said, yes. There is a moment where, like, I could show you on the grid if you wanted this experience, where to get a seat.
Where to sit.
But where the mics are going, like, literally down a row and, like, giving a mini 10-second lap dance to everyone.
Okay.
They still gave it to the guys. So it is designed for heterosexual women, but they are not going to be homophobic in that building.
Okay.
So
you say the mics. Is there no differentiation of, like, I'm rodeo,
I'm pretty sure Not Fergie at one point says the mics, like, refers to them as multiple Michaels.
Okay.
Like,
so it is very
is
much
like
a Jabberwocky's
magic mic in the show.
Yeah.
And I think that is rotating. I did have to follow our mic on Instagram. His name was Patrick Packing.
As gay people, we create our own Instagram follows from people we have seen on.
As gay people, we get to choose our mic.
Yeah.
There's not.
Every once in a while, I'll see an Instagram story, and I'll be like, "Who is this, and why do I follow them?" And, like, invariably, it's somebody, a dancer in a Broadway show I saw, like, a few years ago. And it's like, "Oh, right."
And there's not a whole lot of body range in there, which, like, I still had a great experience. And,
oh,
like,
no. Oh, not the Troye Sivan discourse.
I was so glad to have missed that.
Thank oh, you were away for that. Yeah, very good. Well done.
In a way where I was offline. Yeah. Yeah, I could have used maybe a little more of that.
Sure.
But, like, they're also doing, like, choreography where they leap in the air and land on one hand and then do a full body roll without their body touching.
I tend to write a pretty big permission slip to dancers just because of the fact that, like, there are body diverse people who can dance, but, like, it is in general such a physically demanding thing to do that, like,
right, you could have like a body like mine and you do that show for 2 weeks and you have abs.
Well, right, so, just like, the act of doing that show sort of like makes everybody into the same similar body type.
Right, it's the thing of where Shoshana Bean was Marissa Jarrett Winokur's understudy and in the ensemble, and because she lost so much weight dancing in the ensemble of that show, she couldn't be the understudy anymore.
Oh, theater. It is our thing. All right. What else do you want to mention about Magic Mike? What do I not know about Magic Mike Live that I need to know? Me here, ignorant in my non-Vegas ways.
I mean, I don't feel like I have the adequate Whitney quote for this, but, like, people were seeing that show at funerals, at graduations, at, like, that is the level of experience. It felt like being in the room of that show felt like experiencing a monoculture that only those who were there to witness it got to have, and we had it together. It was a transcendent experience.
Nice.
I don't know how they're going to tour this show because, like, it feels like you couldn't just put this in a theater.
Right.
Like, it's so of its space. But trust and believe, it will not be my only Magic Mike Live experience.
Are you already planning to go back to Vegas to see it in Vegas again?
Bitch, I might. I don't know.
Fantastic.
I want to know what the energy is like. Probably toxic. If it was like they showed up to work to do the show, and suddenly the entire crowd was all gay men, that'd probably be toxic.
Like, but that's too dangerous. We can't have that.
We could make it happen.
The gays are already seeing the Rue show, which is at the Flamingo. Where is the
Rue
show?
Yes, I did not see Drag Race Live, though Kennedy Davenport is in it, and I would have killed to see Kennedy.
The dancing diva from Texas. I mean, come exactly. on. You gotta. Yeah, I would see the Rue Live show just for Kennedy Davenport. I feel like that would be.
Black stockings, white shoes, shouldn't be allowed in the church.
All right, this all sounds like an experience. We want to shout out our friend Pam for inspiring this as the natural offshoot of our Magic Mike Double XL conversation.
I wish you both had been there with me.
Oh my God, that'll be the next time. We'll all go together. I think Pam's in Vegas right now, actually, because she was just texting me.
I think if Pam sees Magic Mike Live, she will explode. She will.
Yeah.
She will become red matter.
Wait. I wonder if she'll answer me by the time we're done. Whether she's seen it. Hold on a second.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
All right, we'll see if she gets back to me. All right. Speaking of live events in theaters, in enclosed spaces with like-minded people, we are recording this at the end of Barbenheimer weekend.
Hey, Barbie. Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything big planned, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
This is the most important thing to ever happen in the history of the world.
So cool.
What a time, Chris. It gives
what
me...
What a time. Everyone is so happy. Everyone is also losing their minds and saying some of the dumbest shit I have ever seen.
You know what? I am happily ignoring all of that. I am skipping through the tulips on that one. I do not have to take in any kind of the dumb discourse on either Barbie or Oppenheimer. What I love is so many people are seeing both of them, though. Like, I was so worried that this was going to be teams. And it feels like most people are seeing both of them. And not everybody likes both of them. But they're, a lot of people do. A lot of people are, you know, it feels like a field trip that we've all decided to go on that is making us better cinephiles and better people, which I love. So what?
I guess the actual Barbenheimer in one
I did.
Day
I did serious. The single day Barbenheimer, which was very important to me to do that. And I don't know why now. And I saw. OK, so here's my experience. So right now I'm living in Buffalo, but we have one IMAX screen in all of the city. And so that's where I went to go see Oppenheimer at 10:30 in the morning. Fairly packed theater, which I was not entirely sure
people
how
are posting,
Buffalo were
like,
going to turn
charts
out.
Of like 2 a.m. IMAX screenings that are full.
Yeah,
like
I would say 2 a.m. makes more sense to me than like 10 a.m. on a weekday. Like this was a Friday, so 10:30 IMAX. It made me appreciate the IMAX in New York City, which was like refurbished a couple years ago with like more comfortable seats and more leg room and like that kind of thing. The IMAX theaters in general are not my fave because there are no aisles in the middle. You know, I'm an aisle person. So if I want to sit on an aisle, I'm all the way at the end. And the IMAX screen, it sometimes, you know, gives you a little bit of a warped viewing experience. I was on the end for this time, but it was fine. But I like moved. I moved to a unoccupied couple of seats a little bit closer to the screen because I just wanted to have a seat next to me because like it was that sort of cramped. So whatever.
Yeah.
IMAX is still not my favorite. If I had my druthers, I would have probably instead seen it in like a Dolby room like they have at Lincoln Square or like a RPX that they have at certain Regal theaters. Anyway. But the screen's enormous, and it's just Cillian Murphy's face takes up that whole screen so often in that movie. He's so incredible. I love the movie. It's 3 hours. I think, as I texted you and Katie, there was a little bit of a vibe I was catching of a little bit of restlessness in my crowd that to me felt like Nolan fanboys who came, who wanted a little bit more action bang for their buck and got like one big explosion and that was kind of it. And the rest of it was like a deposition drama that was happening between Cillian Murphy and Robert Downey Jr., which like I was, of course, riveted by. I think it's a tremendous film. I think it's, I am in no position, it's very recency bias, like, now to talk about, like, where it goes in my Nolan rankings. But, like, it's incredibly impressive. And I saw that one alone, with my Starbucks green tea and a cake pop. I haven't had a cake pop in forever. You know what's pretty good? Starbucks cake pops. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Disagree.
Then met my sister for lunch. And we went and saw a afternoon matinee of Barbie after that. I got Welch's fruit snacks. She got a popcorn. We shared. Everybody going into our theater. I had, for whatever reason, forgotten that I should probably put on something pink. So I'm like, I do not have anything pink on, although I do have my rainbow headband. So at least I was showing up for the community. But everybody is in pink and it's like groups of like gal pals and like moms and daughters and like moms
girls and gays.
Moms and daughters and their gay sons, girls and gays. It's just like a real, real interesting, fun
girls,
little
gays and bays.
Girls and gays. Wait, what's the Nini thing from Real Housewives of Atlanta? I'm gonna forget. Like, girls and gays never forget white party, cocktail luncheon. That's not the full thing, but anyway.
Applaud LGBT.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, GGB's journey. I'm still here. Okay. but a real interesting mix. And again, sold out theater. Everybody's clapping. People clap for the pink Warner Brothers logo. People clapped for Dua Lipa as the mermaid when she shows up. Everybody's just like really enjoying it. It's so funny. All credit to Greta Gerwig for pulling off just a really singular and weird little magic trick within the confines of Mattel brand extension stuff.
Uh-huh, and a studio movie. It's like she did all of that while making a Terry Gilliam movie and not killing anyone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So it was all in all, and then we got a Cold Stone Creamery after, my sister and I. So it was like a real full day. This Barbie got Birthday Cake Remix, and she did not regret it. Birthday Cake Remix with Oreos instead of brownies is my secret to all of you. That is what I'm passing
on to all of
you.
I haven't had a Cold Stone in a while. I do enjoy a Cold Stone.
Oh, they're good. Oh, they're good. We were standing there. The person ahead of us in line was trying to Apple Pay, and they did not accept Apple Pay. And so normally when you're stuck in line behind somebody who's trying to figure out alternate payment methods, it's annoying. When you're doing it in Cold Stone, where everybody's like dish of ice cream is dripping, you know, down the sides of their whatever, it's even more harrowing. But in all, a generally a really good day. Now, you saw them on separate days. You saw Barbie Thursday night.
Not only did I Barbenheimer, I Barbenheim miracled because I also immediately ahead of our recording, I saw a 9:45 showing of the Miracle Club. 9:45 a.m., I should say. So like seeing that type of movie at that time of day was like its own spectacle for me. The movie was fine. I didn't need it to be great. I needed to be exactly what it was as it was happening. Barbie went with four generations of my family.
I love it.
It was very that. Everyone was in pink. Sat next to my nephew for the movie. When the gay guys whistled at Ken, he was like, that's you. And I was like, well, Monica Beverly Hills was wrong. Wait. Because I know one soul that can clock. but then he won me back, realized that, you know, he would have to pick my nursing home one day. And at the end of the movie, he said, you're Alan. And I was like, aww. I have never had a better compliment in my entire life.
You are Alan. I love it.
I loved the movie, had a great time. It has maybe the best final joke ever.
Really good final joke. Yeah. The Anne Roth scene, I joked about it earlier, but like honestly, the Anne Roth scene's so good. When she sees her on the bench, yeah. God.
God bless Anne Roth for being like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
My Oppenheimer experience, saw it last night in 70 millimeter. The AC was broken. So the vibe in the room for me as the movie was over was
get out of here
yeah. from everyone in the sold out crowd. I also think I mentioned this to you when they switched to the film projector.
Yeah.
We saw the Holdovers trailer on film and I was like, are they going to be doing a film release for this movie?
That kind of fits with like the throwback vibe of it, right? Like the trailer is looking very 70s-ish, so that's kind of cool.
Much like Strauss, I think I'm going to rebrand as a hater because
much like Strauss.
We also had the Exorcist Believer trailer. Everyone
knows you're not rebranding as Gordon a hater.
Green's
you are.
Of the Halloween movies. I gave a small little boo after the end of the trailer.
This
I love
not
the
a
original Halloween and what David Gordon Green did with his trilogy made me so angry every single time that one of those movies came out. And, like, I love The Exorcist even more.
Yeah.
That's such, like, a formative film for me that, like, the hater... I will go in with an open mind and with the hope that he does a good job, especially because Burstyn and Blair are going to be in the movie.
Yeah. I haven't seen the trailer yet. What does the trailer suggest to you?
Bad. not a good idea.
Right.
Yeah, you can watch it on. You can watch a leaked version, but they haven't officially put it online. It.
Sure.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know. I want it to be good. I want to like it, or at least I want it to just be like, it's fine. He's not shitting on this like he did with Halloween.
Yeah.
But if it's bad, the hater will be checking in.
The hater will be rechecking in. I feel like you have established your hater bona fides. All right, Chris, this was a very illuminating conversation about Magic.
A fun excursion. I think our next excursion episode next month, maybe we will be watching an old awards show. Maybe we'll be doing an actress roundtable.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's a mystery to even
talking about our TIFF plans. Maybe we'll be it'll be a time. The excursions are going to be its own condensed conversation. Our own, like, you know, fun thing. And we want to hear from the listeners of what they might want those things to be.
Yes. Get back at us. People can post on the Patreon page, right? That's the thing that people can
do. We're figuring that out. But you can still always tweet at us. You can always message us on Instagram. You can always... We'll be hyping up the Patreon in all of those places, and that's a great place for you to send suggestions if you can't do it on Patreon.
Did we want to do, because we have a little bit of time, did we want to do another filmographies game and just do it at the end of every episode?
Sure.
Okay.
Maybe we won't commit to it for the long term, but we're trying things out.
We're trying things out. We're seeing how it goes. All right. So I put in a few actors from the Magic Mike franchise into the randomizer. And so we'll do a filmographies game on one of these people. And I'm randomizing now. And it's Jada Pinkett Smith.
Fabulous.
All right. I will start because you started the last one. All right. I will say Magic Mike Double XL.
The Matrix Reloaded.
Set It Off.
The Matrix Revolutions.
The Matrix... Wait. No, now I've set myself down the path and I realize I can't remember the title. The Matrix... fuck, it's another R. What is it called? I'm getting Resident Evil. No, you can't do it. Can I just say something else instead?
I'm gonna start the countdown. You can say something else.
Is she? She's in Woo, right?
She is in Woo.
She is Woo.
Great pull.
Okay.
The Matrix Resurrections.
Resurrections. I was like, I kept trying to say Retribution, but I'm like, no, that's Resident Evil. The Nutty Professor.
Fuck, that was my pull. Girl Strip.
Fuck, that was my pull. A Low Down Dirty Shame.
She's in that?
Yeah, she's the female lead.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Maybe this is my turn to lose. I hate to lose on Jada because I love Jada. God, Wu is such a good pull. I'm so stuck on Wu being such a good pull. Oh, fuck.
Five. Four. Two. One.
The Pursuit of Happiness. Wow. She's in it.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Ali.
Shit. I'm pulling up The Pursuit of Happiness just
okay,
to
okay, yeah, well, you can look up the movie. Yes, that's fair. That's kosher. And it buys you a little time.
She is not.
Oh,
so I lost.
All right. So you lose. I would have thought that she was in that one. So, had you said Scream 2? I couldn't remember whether you had said
no,
Scream
2. No, fuck. God, that's embarrassing. No, I knew that she was in one of the movies that are like, finger quotes, his movie.
Yeah.
One of Will Smith's movies, but I got it wrong.
Yeah. All right. 1-1 now. We are tied at 1. This is fun. We should keep doing this. This is a good time.
We'll keep the score.
All right. Patreon subscribers, we hope you enjoyed this one. Get to Vegas if you can. Go see Magic Mike. Sit in the splash zone. Learn how to roll craps. Get a margarita that you can carry from one casino to another.
You know what? Go crazy. Give yourself another Barbenheimer day. And if it's available on streaming yet or VOD,
hell yeah,
make it a Barbenheim miracle day.
I still need to see The Miracle Club and truly complete my Barbenheim miracle of my own. We will be back on September 1st with our next Exceptions episode. We haven't even decided what that one's going to be, so you will be as surprised as we are. thank you for subscribing to our Patreon. And as always, we deserve this. Bye.
Bye. Baby, you